Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown here on Inside the Ropes. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always when we talk about the red brand by the man who would rather watch WWE Raw than any other professional wrestling program on the planet today, David J. McCutcheon. Hi David, how are you?
I love Monday Night Raw, Kenny. I'm doing pretty good, Kenny. How about you?
I'm good. What did you, I also thought, you know, Raw, it's fair to say Raw has not exactly been firing on all cylinders as of late.
Right? Yeah.
And, right. You know, lots of people have been, you know, prescriptions for antidepressants from the B-team and all these different things have happened. So I thought that I could bring an alternative to the Raw Rundown.
Oh, God. I told Val whenever she walked in yesterday, I go, we got to watch that show. And she goes, oh, fuck, it's Monday. So... by all means, anything that you got for us, Kenny, tell me, what do you got?
Well, the good thing is, you don't even need to do anything, because a couple of days ago, you know, I was trying to expand my interviewing horizons, and I spoke to Flip Gordon from Ring of Honor.
Hey, Flip! Gotta love old Flip. Did you know, Kenny, that Flip does a lot of flips in the ring?
I heard that Flip has done flips. But this is like a just under 20-minute conversation. We talk about Flat Earth, Cody Rhodes, Madison Square Garden, All In, all the big stuff. And yeah, we want to bring you something different, something that, you know, we always give WWE the love and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Ring of Honor have got a bunch of UK shows coming up this weekend, where you can see Ring of Honor in the UK, David. That doesn't make any difference to you.
It doesn't make any difference to me, but I catch Ring of Honor every time that they come around St. Louis, and it's always a great show. I highly recommend that everybody pony up the old monies and go see some Ring of Honor, because it never disappoints. They always know how to throw on a excellent show.
So if you are in the UK, I'm just going to read it out just now before because I will forget. But basically, the Honor United Tour from Ring of Honor, they're going to be in Edinburgh this Thursday, Doncaster on Saturday, and London on Sunday. So you can get your tickets at ROHWrestling.com. All the stars of Ring of Honor, start off your SummerSlam weekend with some independent wrestling, just to piss Vince McMahon off. Go and see Ring of Honor.
Well, we'll get into that too in just a little bit.
We will get into that. But meanwhile, David has heart issues, and I'm a homosexual. But Flip Gordon does flips, and here he is. Look in the sky, watch it fly, I'm the man, right? I see you try, but you're running and you can't, I know. Here we go, time for the man, time for the show. Dive in the stands, climb up the ropes, where will you land? Nobody knows, watch out for that aerosol. Here you go, man, here's your loss. If it's a game, I'm the boss. Bring more bounce, I'm taking off. Cheers from the crowd, screaming so loud. Fly than the plane, why they check my name? And we're back here in Inside the Ropes, and when Ring of Honor were coming to the UK, it was like, who do we want to talk to? But the man that we had to speak to was the guy who's sweeping the hearts and minds of everyone across the world. It's Flip Gordon. Flip, welcome to the show. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. Thank you so much for having me.
So, I mean, I wanted to ask you, first of all, you're coming to the UK. You've been here before, and I know you've said before that, like, coming to the UK... It's interesting in terms of the crowds here. What's the most different thing for you as a performer in a crowd in the UK compared to in the States?
I'm sorry, can you say that again? Some a-hole was about to run me off the road. They're driving like a complete D-bag. And
sure.
I was distracted. I do apologize.
That's fine. So, obviously, you said in an interview before that when you've been in the UK performing before, that the crowd are quite different in the UK compared to the States. What are the biggest differences wrestling in the UK compared to over there in the States?
I think the crowds are just so much more rowdy, so much more excited, so much more passionate. I think they come they're ready to party. But they respect wrestling at the same time, like to the point where they're not trying to just start chants just a chant to try to take away from wrestling. They do it in a way that it adds to the matches. Whereas in America, I feel like at times fans try to take away from matches. They more want it to be about them.
Yeah, yeah. I guess over here as well, I've found that the shows I've went to in the UK, if like something happens and it doesn't go quite right, the UK fans are first to kind of like point out here in some ways, but not in a way that disrupts the match.
No, absolutely.
I do also want to ask you about, you said in an interview that one of the things you like about the UK is having a Nando's, and this appears to be every American who comes to the UK, they love Nando's. What is it about Nando's that you guys love so much?
I don't know. The chicken there is just so good, and I love chicken. I'm a chicken guy. And there's just something about Nando's that's just, it's contagious. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because that's the place that people say to go. But, I mean, the food backs it up. The food's delicious.
Yeah, over here we've got Will Ospreay, who at all opportunities will tell everybody about Nando's in the hopes that he can get some sort of sponsorship.
How's that working for him? Has he got it yet?
Oh, no, no. It's never going to happen. But he's just continuously trying, just in the hopes that one day they'll pick him up.
See, I want to get sponsored by Kinder Chocolate, which is why one of my moves is called the Kinder Surprise. And that's one of the main things I am looking forward to most about coming to England is getting Kinder Surprise eggs.
Stock
because
up.
Because they're illegal here in the States.
I did want to ask you about, you've not been wrestling that long. I feel like if people watched Ring of Honor for a little while or whatever, it almost seems like you've been around longer than you have, and I mean that as like a compliment. What was your start in wrestling, and what do you attribute your kind of fairly quick success to?
I mean, I've been wrestling a little over 3 years now, and I just say I'd attribute to my MMA background, my gymnast background, my dancing background. Just so much that I've done in life added to the style that I have. It's kind of funny because I asked somebody last night, because I mean, I don't really know what kind of style I have, but I asked somebody last night what they would describe my style as. And they said like a American indie mixed with lucha.
That's quite a mix.
But if you ask me, I personally think I wrestle more of like a WWE TV style. But I mean, maybe it's a blend of all combined. I think I wrestle more of a slower TV style of a match, though.
Well, I guess obviously with All In coming up soon, the story of you trying to get to All In has really captured people. You know, I've got friends who only really watch WWE, but they're very familiar with Flip Gordon trying to get to All In. How important do you feel that that's been for you? Having that story and having people kind of gravitate to it?
It's been very vital, to the point where I feel like my character right now, if you had to describe Flip Gordon as a character, I feel like one of the main traits that goes along with Flip Gordon is Book Flip. So it's almost like my character, in a sense, is that it's so important to my character, it's so important to me to get booked, that it's almost a part of my character. And I need this. I need it for me. I need it for my career. I need to be all in. Because this is the biggest show of the year. This is where the big boys play. This is where stars are going to be made. This is where history is going to be made. And you want to be a part of this event.
And what's the current... Because obviously you had the match with Nick Aldis. That was obviously what the attempt to get all in. It didn't quite pan out. What's the current plan? What's your next strategy to get an all-in?
Well, I mean, Cody is a businessman, so I decided I would try to be a businessman as well. And I decided I'm going to throw my own party, you know, all out. No jurisdiction over the parking lot. So I'm throwing my own all-out party. I sold 2,000 tickets in just a little over 2 hours. So I'm hoping Cody will make a bet with me, or not a bet, an offer with me. I will shut down the party if he books me for All In. And if not, then we're going to party all night long. I know it says to only three, but if I'm not booked, I can't go inside. So I guess we're just going to keep partying for as long as we can.
So the ball's in his court, essentially.
No, it's 100% in his court. He is the one that does not want to book me. And the Bucks gave me a thumbs up. Cody's the only one that says, sorry, the show's full. And then he books a battle royal? Come on.
It almost feels like a slap in the face that he books a battle royal and doesn't put you in it.
It's a huge slap to the face.
It's his show.
It's his show. But I'm going to show up to Chicago still. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to bring some custom merch. And I'm going to try my best to get booked. I'm not stopping until the last bell rings.
I have faith in you. I think it's going to happen. Sending you all the positive energy. But I do want to ask you about the match with Nick Aldis for the NWA Championship. Again, it's one of those things where, you know, when it was announced, like, the buzz on social media about it. I mean, I think there was, you know, on the £10 of gold, you had people like Dave Meltzer and Ryan Satin from the kind of journalism world of wrestling talking about how, you know, they wanted you to win. And Meltzer had said that, you know, he wasn't going to watch the show live, but when your match was announced, he wanted to watch it live. What was the whole experience like for you of doing that NWA title match and sort of having such a big match that people had all their eyes on?
It was really cool, but it was a lot of pressure at the same time because there was so much build and so much hype around it that I knew that there were so many eyes on that match. And I had to go out and I had to perform. I had to give it my very best. And I think I did that. And I think Cody and Aldis both realized that as well as many others. And I think that's one of the main reasons why Cody and Nick decided to help me up. And Cody might even have changed his mind on me, you know? Might have been temporary, but, you know, it's better than nothing.
It's a start.
Absolutely.
And what was it like working with Nick Aldis? Because I've worked with him before. He's quite like a kind of old school guy in how he approaches wrestling. It was pretty interesting to see him with a kind of old school vibe and you as a very sort of like man of the moment, you know, like you're a very current wrestler. It was quite fun to see you guys mix it up.
No, it was a blast. And I mean, he's very, very good. And I had the pleasure of wrestling him one more time prior. And I think it was a 6-man tag at Target Wrestling.
Yeah, Target Wrestling in the UK.
Yeah, so we had touched one time prior, but neither of us really remembered that hardly at all. So it was cool to get in there, and I love working with British guys. So I'm very excited for the tour because it's going to be an opportunity to work with many more British guys.
And one of your other famous matches so far is obviously the match with Bully Ray earlier on this year. And he's a very intense man sometimes. But, I mean, what was it like for you to have that match in Ring of Honor? And, again, that was one of the kind of most interesting matches on the show for people to see him and you go at it.
It was really cool to be able to get in there with a WWE Hall of Famer and really learn firsthand. But it has gotten a little personal, and it's taken a route that I didn't think it would take. And I'm tired of getting kicked in the balls, getting hit in the balls. And so I'm gonna keep standing up to Bully, and this is going to end, and I'm going to end it. Just a matter of when.
And I was looking earlier on today. Obviously, you get your pro wrestling tees store, and there is the t-shirt that obviously stands out in some ways is the Flat Earther t-shirt. So I need to ask you about it. You said before that Flip Gordon is a Flat Earther, whereas, you know, someone else might not be. I was once to ask you, what's your favorite conspiracy theory?
Oh, that's a good one. My favorite conspiracy theory would probably have to be I don't know. I kind of like the flat Earth one just because it gets under so many people's skin.
Because obviously the big wrestling conspiracy theory is that, you know, Montreal was a work, that Brett and Vince were in on it all along. I guess that's the big wrestling one. There's not really any other big wrestling conspiracy theories that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too many.
And obviously, the other thing that's in the news this week I wanted to talk to you about was the MSG show in April. ROH has sold 9,000 tickets already. You know, the general sales tomorrow, they're probably going to sell it out pretty much straight away. For someone like you that's only been wrestling for a couple of years and still kind of making your way through, how cool is it for you that you could be wrestling in Madison Square Garden this coming April?
Wait, 9,000 tickets wasn't even general admission? What was that?
That was just the Honor Club presale.
What?
Yep.
That is insane.
60% of the tickets gone in the presale alone.
That is insane. I didn't even know that. That is absolutely... Wow, that's amazing. I'm at a loss for words.
And then I think Madison Square Garden did their own pre-sale at like noon today, and those ones sold out straight away. So yeah, already 9,000 sold, and the general people haven't even got a chance to buy a ticket yet.
That's awesome. That's nuts. Wrestling's so cool right now. How crazy is that? It's gonna be a month less than 4 years into the business, and I'm gonna wrestle at Madison Square Garden. That is insane.
Is that cool for you? Like, because you are part of this. I don't know if you want to call it a movement, but you know, I notice it. You know, we podcast every week. Thousands of people get in touch with us and speak to us. And the whole time I've been watching wrestling, I'd say, you know, since WCW went under in 2001 or whatever, there's not really been a buzz about anything non WWE as much as there is now, with All In and with ROH and New Japan and what you're doing. It must be, I mean, do you guys feel that there's something special happening?
It's weird for me because, I mean, I came in right at the right time with the right style, the right look, you know, with the right people, the right school, you know. And so I never saw how the indies were before this. You know what I mean? I mean, I saw how they were when I first started, but I mean, for the most part, wrestling's always been cool since I've been on the indies. But as a kid, it wasn't cool. And I lived on the other side of the country. So for me, it's almost like I just moved to a different side of the country and it's cool over here. You know what I mean? I never got exposed to it before it was in this boom. But it does feel so special because I see the other guys and I see how they act and how they're just like, yeah, man, this is so special. And like, and I mean, I see so many guys rising so quick, and I've never seen guys having so many jobs like they do now. I mean, you have Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan, NXT, WWE, main roster. You know what I mean? There's so much wrestling out there. Lucha Underground, CMLL, AAA. There's so much wrestling and so many jobs. It's so cool to see.
Yeah, and I mean, this card at Madison Square Garden is going to be on course to be the biggest independent wrestling event outside of WWE in America in decades.
See, that just blows my mind, and it's so cool to say that I've been a part of it the last year.
Well, it looks like it's not going to change anytime soon. You're just going to become more a part of it, and it's going to get bigger and better. Very quickly, I did want to ask you about, you know, obviously you've been wrestling in New Japan as well. What was the biggest, was there any big culture shock for you when you went to Japan to wrestle? Was there anything specifically that you learned that you weren't expecting?
The toughest part for me was trying to find certain food because I'm a kind of a picky eater. And so whenever we would travel and go to the country towns, it was really difficult for me to find food that I would like. So there was times where I would just eat gas station food, for a couple days just to try to get out. It was difficult. but after a while I kind of learned, okay, I kind of like this, like I can tolerate this. Like I know to get this here. I know to stock up these days. Eventually you figure it out.
And I guess just the final question is, you know, you're going to be in this tournament when you come over to the UK, the ROH International Cup. Your first bout's against Kip Sabian. How are you feeling about the tournament? Are you in it to win it? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm still super psyched. Kip Sabian, I'm really excited to get in there and mix it up with him. I've heard nothing but great things about him. And I'm excited. I mean, it's been since December since I've been to the UK, so it'll be a nice little return. And then I'm back, I believe, in December as well. So I'm excited.
And just the last thing, if all goes well, you defeat Kip Sabian, what happens if you end up having to face Jimmy Havoc? I mean, he's not maybe of sound mind.
I mean, he scares the crap out of me. He's insane. He's scary.
So you wouldn't want to get into a death match?
I hope I don't see him. No, I don't. I mean, I hope I don't even have to share a freaking locker room with him.
It's going to be an interesting tour to see what happens. But Flip, we want to thank you for your time. What's your Twitter handle and your information, just in case people want to get in touch with you or buy a t-shirt and all that good stuff?
It's at the Flip Gordon.
There you go. You can go there to see what Flip's up to. Buy a Flat Earth t-shirt just to mess with people. Do it.
I'm thinking of doing it. Do it.
People in Glasgow would just stop me every 5 minutes. I might just do it for a laugh. Flip, thank you very much for joining us, and I'm should I say for all the listeners, we very much hope that you are all in.
Absolutely appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Take care, man.
So Kenny, we're back here inside the ropes that we're all run down. Excellent conversation here,
by the way, with
Flip Gordon. Great job. That was the first time that he had heard about the Madison Square Garden deal selling out that fast. So you got to break the news to him. Very cool. But so you introduced that, though, Kenny. You said that I have heart issues and that you're a homosexual and Flip does flips. So what I recommend is that you got to change your name now. You're Gay Kenny, right? If he's Flip Gordon and he does flips. But maybe it could be Dick Kenny. You do dicks, right? He does flips. His name's Flip. You do dicks. Your name could be Dick.
But see, that would imply that I at any point in my life want a penis to go inside my arsehole, which I have no desire to ever take place.
Well, for everyone who's been bothering me personally, and yes, I do get this a lot, Kenny, because I predicted if you were a top or a bottom, and people fucking bother me constantly about it, wanting to know what the answer is. Well, now you know, so stop fucking messaging me about it.
I love the idea that, like, Ring of Honor, they're like, okay, we'll go and listen to the Flip interview, and then the other side, we'll see what the conversation is, and it's me telling you that I'm not a bottom. And, yeah. So, the Raw Rundown.
This is one of the most listened to wrestling podcasts about Monday Night Raw that there is, you guys. And all we do is we talk about dicks.
Now, that might be because nobody else is stupid enough to do a podcast about Monday Night Raw anymore. But, you know, we can't.
We used to be 9,342nd, but now we're in like the top five, top 10, you know.
Yeah, we're there. Luckily, we will talk about Raw in a little bit. Raw wasn't, I didn't think Raw was anywhere near as bad this week as it has been the last couple of weeks. There was some good stuff in there.
I completely agree with you. Absolutely. So,
at least there's some good stuff to talk about on this show. But I want to...
100%.
I feel we need to open the conversation here, David, because... Phil, people, and David, how old are you?
I am... God, I had to actually think about it. I'm going on 34, Kenny.
So you're 33 years old.
Yeah.
I'm also 33 years old. I know I don't look it. Thank you very much. Save your letters.
We're old men.
So, you know, I try to not take things too seriously about, like, you know, who's your Mount Rushmore of wrestling? Or, you know, those kind of questions. Because it's just... It's...
Sure.
And then...
I hate even answering those questions. Those are tough questions.
Yeah, it's really difficult. So, anyway... But then, now, this is like a two-pronged attack that I know you felt my pain in. So, I'd seen there was some sort of, like, wrestling theme tune tournament going on, where, like, there would be theme tunes, and, you know, you click like if you like one of them, or love heart for the other one.
Right, right. And we are, of course, talking about the Inside the Ropes fan community.
Well, it's no longer the fan community, and this has changed it. It's just the Inside the Ropes community.
Oh, that's right. The community.
He's removed yes. the fan element. To,
yes.
So I wasn't really paying that much attention to the thing. And then I saw the winner. And the winner was Edge's theme tune.
Right, now, by the Creed guys. Yeah.
Now, I like Edge's theme tune. I think it's pretty good.
Sure.
But, like, it's not even top 20.
And yeah, then it's like, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm gonna stay cool here. I'm not gonna die on that hill.
Right, right. It's not your hill to die on. People have bad taste in music. That's okay, Kenny.
It happens.
And music. Let's be honest. Music is a very divisive thing. It can be looked at objectively. I despise heavy metal, but there are tons of heavy metal connoisseurs who I would think have good taste in other aspects. So, you know, music is highly subjective, is what I'm trying to say.
It's what you're trying to say. So what happened was this, that, you know, there was this tournament on wrestling theme tunes. Edge's won, completely wrong decision. You know.
The DX theme song was, like, in the final.
Ugh.
I'm like, really?
So, I mean, you're telling me that fucking... Hollywood Hogan's Jimi Hendrix Voodoo Child. I mean, come on. Come on now.
Right. Not even nominated, Kenny.
So, but
the kids nowadays, though, they wouldn't even know that, because if you put on the network, it's just going to be the typical NWO theme tune. They wouldn't even know that Hogan had Voodoo Child.
That's true. That's true. Because they wouldn't pay for the rights for it.
Yeah.
But so I'm not going to choose that hill to die on. So anyway, and then it turns out, because that tournament went so well, there's going to be a tournament to determine the greatest wrestling, the greatest superstar in wrestling history, I think, was the way it was put. And, I mean, there was a lot of them where it's like, so, give you an example. Kenny Omega and Triple H went head-to-head in the first round. It's unfair on many levels. Number one, because Kenny Omega is so much better than the man who knows who to have sex with. But yes. You can't really compare a guy who's... Because in terms of, like, you know, impact on wrestling, you know, maybe you could argue Triple H for now, but that's because Triple H has been wrestling for 20 years and he's 50, and Kenny Omega is in his prime. So, but the thing that just killed me, and I don't even have a huge stake in these two guys, but it was Bruno Sammartino against Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
You know, who was the biggest superstar? And Kurt Angle was beating Bruno by 3-1. Kurt Angle, who, you know, as much as I love Kurt Angle, if Kurt Angle had not turned up in the WWF in 1999, wrestling would be in the exact same place it is in now.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
There's not really one variable that'd be any different. I mean,
right. I would put him on, like, the same level as an Edge or a... I'm trying to think of somebody else, to where it's like an amazing wrestler, one of the all-time great wrestlers and technicians, and just an excellent guy, but not he didn't change the landscape of the business. One of those guys.
Yeah,
and you don't have to. You absolutely do not have to.
Well, you couldn't really do it in the last 15 years. But the idea that anyone with a working brain looks at Bruno Sammartino and Kurt Angle and goes, who is the more influential wrestler, and picks Kurt Angle, was just... I had to take a minute, David.
It bothers me, and I got sentimental yesterday because it's a Monday. No one likes Mondays anyway, right? Because you have to watch Raw. But so I'm sitting there and I'm very sentimental, and I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, oh boy, the kids, they've forgotten about Bruno. You know, that's a shame. You know, Bruno was way before my time, but you know, my grandma always talked about Bruno and what he meant to the business, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, wow, he was the longest reigning champion. He held the championship for 12 years, Kenny. You know, I mean, that just, wow, that's insane to hold a championship for that long, man, just nuts. And then you start thinking about it and you're like, oh man, the kids, you know, they're forgetting about him. They're slowly. And then you start like looking at the other results. And today, for example, Daniel Bryan is going to trounce Bret Hart in the tournament. And I'm like, wow, that's just nuts. You know, so you think about that and you go, the older these kids get, you know, the further they get detached from reality and history and what it means. And that's why we have like the Nazis coming back nowadays, is because, you know, we're so far removed from World War II that, you know, it seems like a distant memory. It's like almost fictional because we're so removed from it in terms of history. And then you think about all the positive aspects and all the people who are going to be forgotten. And if Bruno can hold the title for that long, Kenny, and be forgotten or overlooked, then what's going to happen with the guys that people love nowadays, the Seth Rollins and, you know, and the Roman Reigns and the Brock Lesnars and even just the wrestlers people like, the Daniel Bryans, the CM Punks. You know, if history will forget about Bruno Sammartino and holding that title for as long as he did, what is history going to do to all these people, the John Cenas of the world, in 75 years from now? They'll all be forgotten, Kenny. They'll all be washed away. Is life truly even worth living? All of our accomplishments will be gone if these great men who we recognize are nothing but dusts and grains of sand that will be swept away in the currents and swept away in the cold breeze, Kenny. What is life for mere mortals such as you or I? Will we be forgotten about in a mere 5 years after our deaths? If the great Bruno Sammartino and all of his contributions are forgotten about in just decades. My God, Kenny, it's an existential crisis.
That escalated quickly.
Oh, my God. I'm having a nervous breakdown, Kenny. I got to go. Bye, everybody. I'm leaving.
You know that he could be on his deathbed dying. He'd still be gripping a Yeti microphone to make fun of Raw. Val's there trying to get her last minute. And he's like, I just need to put over the heart attack again. but I'll tell you this, if Hulk so Hulk Hogan is due to have his first round match in this superstar thing against Rey Mysterio.
It's ongoing right now, Kenny.
And I bet you Rey Mysterio's winning.
Last I looked, Hulk was winning like 50-30.
But I mean, even that is a mental percentage.
Yeah,
Hulk Hogan.
Right.
So
just nuts.
I just, you know, and I agree with what you're saying, David. Basically, anybody who makes these stupid votes are Nazis.
Oh, was that the point of my my rant?
That's what I took from it.
I love you.
So ROHWrestling.com is where you can buy your tickets. To see Ring of Honor in the United Kingdom, Edinburgh, Doncaster, and London. No Nazis there.
No Nazis. If you want to see great professional wrestling, then you go to ROH Wrestling.
You want to enjoy your wrestling Nazi-free? Ring of Honor is where to go.
It's going to be great. You know what else is great, Kenny? I got a proclamation to make right now.
Sure.
A big reveal. Me, Sandra, and Val are all in. Officially, we ended up getting our tickets on StubHub. We're sitting together. We're going to enjoy a wonderful evening of wrestling, Kenny. It's going to be great.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm glad you guys are going. We're obviously going to try and be there officially this year, and didn't quite pan out. But you know, for you guys, You should absolutely, yes. You should absolutely be all in. It's close enough to you guys that you should be there.
It is. It is. It's like a 4-hour drive for each of us. So it's like, yeah, there's no way. We got to make it. We're going to be all in, Kenny.
Now,
I'm looking forward to it.
I want to ask you a question, though, because it feels like All In, going to All In is not really about the card of matches. It's about the statement that it is, and it's about what it is, as opposed
Correct.
To it being... So I'm curious, right? Because obviously I'm not really a savant of New Japan or whatever, so I'm kind of in the periphery. I saw a graphic of the kind of the full All In card.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was a pretty underwhelming card.
Yeah, it is.
Is that
all
fair?
Honesty.
Is that not? What do you
yeah.
think?
No, I think that's a fair sentiment. I mean, like, the Young Bucks going to face Rey Mysterio, that's big, right? Like, that's a big deal. And then you have the biggest match on the card is probably Pentagon versus Kenny Omega, because those two guys, who would have ever thought that you would have seen that match, right? So... That's a big match right there. That's like a legitimate main event style match. But yeah, and then you've got like Marty Scurll versus Okada, which I don't think that's like the type of match that I want to see out of Okada personally.
I'm not saying this in terms of wrestling quality. I'm trying to put it in the picture for maybe some people who don't watch New Japan. Is that kind of like, you know, the lead up to WrestleMania 15 that Stone Cold Steve Austin, instead of fighting The Rock, he's fighting Triple H? In terms of like somebody who's
I guess like the proper thing would be like instead of fighting The Rock, he's fighting Billy Gunn. You know what I mean?
It's right, okay.
like upper mid card guy, but not even close to the main event, because Marty Scurll, you know, he's a light heavyweight. And did you see the promo that Okada cut on Marty Scurll in English?
No, is it good?
Oh, it was fucking great. It's very limited, obviously, but he goes, Marty Scurll, he's a little guy, right? Light heavyweight. And then they go, yeah. And he goes, oh, that's good. Maybe that'll be his last match before he goes to 205 Live.
Oh, that's
I was like, oh, shit. Kazuchika with the Bants. It was pretty great.
The
I
Bants.
Loved it.
I mean, and I mean, obviously, All In as well is going to be the kind of the Cody winning the NWA title that his dad held. That's going
right.
to be cool to see.
Of course. Yeah, that'll be. But at the same time, like, I don't see anybody who's like, boy, I can't wait for that Nick Aldis match. No offense to Nick, but, you know, it's like, that's not really a ticket driver. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I was also going to ask you, while we're talking about this kind of stuff, so ROH and New Japan sold out Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah.
13 minutes.
Nuts.
You watch more New Japan than I do. You're more in the pulse of New Japan Ring of Honor than I am.
Yes.
What do you think? What is the best sort of like outcome to this? Do you think it could, is this somewhere they could do a couple of big shows a year like this, or where do you envision it going?
They could absolutely. I mean, so long as I think it's sort of funny because, you know, everybody's like, oh, this is the independence of the WWE, and that's a cute sentiment, but it's also naive. Because in the end, one of the reasons that this thing sold out like it did is because it happened during WrestleMania weekend, right? So I think next year you're going to be facing something. There's going to be ultimatums, I think, with the WWE and Madison Square Garden from here on out, such as, you know, well, if you're going to allow them to do this, then you're not going to get our support. Sort of like how Vince did back in the 80s with WCW whenever he was fighting for territories, and he would go to pay-per-view providers and he would be like, well, if you're going to put Starcade, I almost said Starcast, Jesus. If you're going to put Starcade on pay-per-view, then you don't get WrestleMania. You know, one of those deals. I think that we're going to start seeing ultimatums like that from Vince's perspective. It's his bread and butter. That's the snake in the grass capitalism that he loves to exercise and exert himself in.
Well, because I was actually listening to a pretty decent podcast. It's actually well worth a download if you get the chance. It's Talk is Jericho with Mark Henry and the guy from Busted Open. And they're all just talking about Madison Square Garden and just the history. Sure. Like their experiences there and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that sounds fun, actually. Yeah.
And Dave LaGreca made a really good point where he was talking about how on the Raw 25 documentary, you know, the 24 special, Daniel Bryan at one point says that WWE's home in New York City is the Barclays Center. And he said, well, that's kind of the thing. That's like, and Madison Square Garden has kind of priced itself out of the market a little bit. But at the same time, if you're not going to run, like, any TV there, any pay-per-views there, or anything like that, and you're going to consistently go to, you know, because this is the fourth year that they've done the Brooklyn for SummerSlam. They did 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018. 4 years. Back-to-back in Brooklyn. And then next year, they have WrestleMania in New Jersey. All the Raw, SmackDown, NXTs are at Barclays Center. Nothing is at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
So it's like, you can't really be annoyed if you're not taking advantage of the building.
You know what it's like, actually, Kenny? It's like you have your wife and then you have your mistress and you no longer see your wife and you just hang out with the mistress all the time. And then whenever the wife tries to go and find somebody else to doink, then you start getting jealous and offended. That's sort of what this is like. It's like, well, you got to choose one or the other, buddy.
That's also probably the kind of thing I would do, to be fair. I want to move on. You can't move on until I've fully moved on. If I stop moving on, you need to move back.
That's totally what this is like, though. It's like, okay, but that's a little unrealistic and childish. So I don't know.
Let me fill you in on a very, very, very rare glimpse behind the camera into my personal life.
Oh, very rare. We never get those.
But I think that you'll appreciate it. So, I am romantically pursuing something at the moment.
And, right, I know. It's my wiener. I got it.
Yep. And the person in question was at my home when was this? Saturday. No, this was Saturday. Saturday?
Sure.
Saturday. So, anyway, so he is a wrestling fan as well. And I told him, he obviously knows my favorite wrestler is Hulk Hogan. And he said, he's not a huge fan of Hulk Hogan. So, you know, I mean, he's also vegetarian. So already respect what he stands for. But then
one and two, right?
And then on top of that, you've got the fact that now he's saying he doesn't like Hulk Hogan. But anyway, he said, look, and this is all I ever asked for. He said, I am willing to have my mind changed about Hulk Hogan. That's all I need. So I showed him three things over the weekend to try and turn him around on Hulk Hogan. Number one, I showed him, and I am not making this up. If you have never seen this, this is a real, real thing. The 70s song by Gary Glitter, your favorite pedophile and mine.
Of course.
You Want to Be in My Gang?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan did a cover of this in 1994.
Oh my God.
And it is Hulk Hogan, do you want to be in my gang? Like, it's horrendous, right?
Oh, that's great.
But
oh,
I of course show, and the thing is, so the music video, this is like when Hogan's just left the WWF. So obviously the only match they can show is Hogan from Japan against the Great Muta when he is WWF champion.
So, oh man!
So that is basically the entire video, apart from when he's in a sound booth and he's very, very close to the camera, singing "Jolly Be in My Gang" in a very guffy voice. So I showed that first, you know, and he looked traumatized, but you could tell he wasn't fully against listening to it again. But then I had
just on repeat constantly for 3 hours straight, right?
I'm actually going to play it as the end song to this podcast.
Ah, there you go. You know what my favorite Hulk Hogan song is that he did? It's the I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac. You've heard that one, I'm guessing,
right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one's just a fucking belter. You gotta listen to that. That's great.
So then I decided, right, what's number two going to be? And I didn't need to even get my horse out of the cart. I knew what was going to happen here. I went on to my completely legal device and completely legal website, and I downloaded this movie for this gentleman to watch. And I made him watch No Holds Barred.
Oh, no!
And you've never seen the look drained from somebody's face so much.
Oh, yeah.
When they are watching No Holds Barred. And
because at that point, he's just thinking, how the fuck do I get back home and get the fuck away from this guy?
Yep.
Because this guy has to be an axe murderer.
So he finishes the film, and then I said, so what did you think? and he said, you know, he was like deep in thought, and he said, I was trying to think about it, and I think that is genuinely the worst movie I've ever seen. Because usually movies don't get that far ahead when they're that bad.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing was, he finishes watching it, he's like, yeah, I believe Vince McMahon wrote that. I believe it. And then, of course,
the best part too is the what's that smell?
Well, that or when Hogan is sharing a hotel room with the accounts executive, and she wakes up in the middle of the night, and basically there's a noise like he's having a wank.
Yeah.
And it's him doing push-ups in really, really small shorts. So
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, no, he loves them.
So, of course, for the finale of our Hulk Hogan viewing party, there's nowhere else you go. You go to the main event of SummerSlam 89, Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake with Miss Elizabeth in the corner against Zeus, the Macho Man Machete in the other corner. End of the match, you've got Hogan hits Zeus with a loaded purse. He body slams him. Schiavone's going crazy on commentary. Sherry's trying to get in there. Big leg drop, 1, 2, 3. Sherry's then trying to attack Hogan. Hogan atomic drops Sherry. Elizabeth hits Sherry with a purse. By the end of that weekend, he came round on Hulk Hogan. Because how can you not with those three things in your
leg dropping sensational Sherry? I mean, that's all you need.
And I mean, I think I picked the right three, right?
No, that is pretty good. I think I would have went with Mr. Nanny or Mr. Mom or whatever the fuck it was called. Right.
I mean, so we watched the I was showing him the trailers for some of the other ones. Like, so I'm building them up to this one because it's such a great
Suburban
movie.
Commando.
The best Hulk Hogan movie, Suburban Commando.
That is.
Cameo by The Undertaker. Christopher Lloyd, who clearly has, you know, somebody has photos of him somewhere.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
But like Suburban Commando, you watch the trailer and it looks like a fun movie. I still love it in that Hogan was called Shep Ramsey. Great.
what a fucking name, right?
Funny, we watched the Mr. Nanny trailer, and I, in that 2.5 minutes, remembered why it's the one Hogan movie that I never go back and watch again.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I persevered, I won him round. I mean, I think most of what won him round was Hogan's attempt at casual loungewear in No Holds Barred.
Yeah, it could have been.
But you know, I'll take a victory where I can get it.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you see Hulk Hogan doing those push-ups, Kenny, I mean, things are bound to happen. A bit of breaking news here, by the way. I see this. It doesn't seem like huge news, but I think it has good implications. According to Wrestling Observer, Daniel Bryan is going to have a showcase mode in the new WWE video game coming out in October.
Oh, wow.
So basically what that means is he will have a mode dedicated to his story. So you will click on that, you know, you can go to like an expedition or, you know, exhibition, pardon me. Well, I mean, there will
You're
be
not playing
exhibition.
Jumanji, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. you know, you could do like something like that, or you could choose this like career mode, and it will showcase the career of Daniel Bryan. And, you know, your job is to win the, championship at WrestleMania 30, right? So, yeah, I think that's – now, in general, you're like, why are you even mentioning that? Daniel Bryan has not signed a new WWE deal as of the last that I heard. Is that correct?
Yep, there still has been no confirmation that he signed a new deal.
When does his deal expire?
September 1st.
September 1st, and we've got a few weeks now.
And
so
before anybody asks, he cannot turn up All In.
No. So. No. He absolutely can. There would be the no compete clause. However, though, I mean, he could show up theoretically for Madison Square Garden. But regardless, we're getting ahead of ourselves. This is kind of startling news.
Yeah.
That they would release a mode dedicated to him. Like, a portion of the game is going to revolve around Daniel Bryan, and the game comes out in October. So long after his contract expires. Now, I fully, absolutely fully expect him to re-sign with the WWE, Kenny. I do not see him, like, I would say 90% certain I am that he will re-sign with the WWE. But, man, kind of nuts, you know?
That's kind of cool. Bryan is a situation that people are keeping on top of and seeing what's happening. So I actually I'm looking forward to talking about some of the bits from Raw, actually, this week.
Yeah. We have good talking points for once.
Yeah. I actually thought the show was decent. I think it was great, but it was decent.
I mean, it's the go home show for fucking SummerSlam. You would hope that it's decent.
Exactly. obviously, there was the really sad news during the day that Jim the Anvil Neidhart had passed away.
Yeah, just terrible.
But my recommendation, I know a lot of people who listen to this are younger and I can imagine you wouldn't know where to be like, okay, I'll go and try and watch a good example of Jim Neidhart, and you wouldn't really know where to go.
Right.
I'll give you one of, if not my favorite tag team wrestling match of all time. SummerSlam 90, the Hart Foundation Demolition.
Oh, yeah.
2 out of 3 falls. It is the best. And it's like, Anvil is so, like, he's so good, but like in a way that's so understated at how good he is. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
So I would recommend watching that on the network if you've never seen it. The story getting into it was that the Hart Foundation hadn't had the tag team championships since, I think, 1987 or 1988. And then this is, you know, fast forward, we're now in the summer of 1990. Demolition, who've kind of had the belts for the majority of the last 2 years, have now went heel. They've got a third member called Crush who's come in. So they're doing a bait and switch thing. Can the Hart Foundation win the championships? And as all this is going on, the Legion of Doom have just turned up in the WWF. It's a great match that I would thoroughly recommend that people go check out if you want to see a little bit of the Anvil.
Yeah. No, it's funny that you mentioned that. That was going to be the match that I recommended. And obviously, just his entire run that he had in the late 90s with the Hart Foundation. That stuff that a lot of people argue that was Brett's best work. I almost said breast. But yeah, like that in general, just that group of guys in that period of time, they were a excellent team together, and he was a part of that team. And now Brett is the only one who's left out of the Hart Foundation, Kenny.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's really sad.
We're getting old, buddy.
I know. I mean, Jim Neidhart had a good run for how Jim Neidhart, you know. I mean, I think that he lived to excess at points in his life. And
he did, and he suffered from Alzheimer's late in life.
Oh, did he?
That's why he died. Actually, was complications from Alzheimer's.
Oh God.
Yeah, really rough. Really rough for somebody at 63. That's the same age that my dad died. So it's just like, man, that sucks.
But we actually got this. So as Raw kicked off, we had Ronda Rousey come up to open the show. She addresses Jim Neidhart's death. Talks about how, you know, it's heartbreaking and fathers are pillars of our strength. Now, I didn't know at this point that Ronda Rousey's dad had died when she was 8 years old.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So, you know, even more power to her for being able to do this. So she says at one point, "Stay strong, Natty Neidhart, we all love you." It's a really nice touch.
Yeah, crowd chanted for Natty. This was a great crowd, by the way.
Yeah, Greensboro were on top form.
Yes, yes, they were. They were into everything all night long. It was great.
I wanted to ask you, did you have any issue with how they went from the kind of real tribute to Jim Neidhart to kind of going into storyline stuff? It didn't really bother me, but did it bother you?
Since they didn't bring it up afterwards, it's not like they intermingled it. You know, it's sort of like they segued from that into the wrestling stuff. It didn't really bother me that much. I can understand if people find it distasteful, though. It's one of those deals. It didn't bother me, but if people found it distasteful, I understand why.
Basically, so Alexa Bliss comes out with Alicia Fox. Before this, Ember Moon gets brought out as she's going to face Alexa Bliss here. Then Alexa and Alicia Fox come out. Fox is heavily selling the arm injury from last week. Alexa Bliss talks about how she's tired of seeing Ronda Rousey and that dumb look in her face, and just mocks Ronda Rousey's skill. I did laugh, to be fair to Alexa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alexa, of course, spoke to Mr. Corbin, who suggested that she hire her own security to make sure that she's not, you know, harmed by Ronda Rousey. And then the four security guards head to ringside. And
a bunch of dudes, by the way.
Bunch of dudes. And when Ronda tries to go for Alexa, the four security guards stand in her way, and she batters the piss out of the first three of them. And then in one of the greatest segments of all time, the fourth security guard just ran away. I don't blame him.
He looked terrified, Kenny. No, absolutely. I'm 100% with him.
I thought it was a really hot open to the show. I liked it.
Yeah, for sure.
I like the idea that, you know, Alexa, once Ronda Rousey gets to Alexa Bliss, she's done. That's the story.
Right. Exactly. This was, if you remove the Neidhart aspect of it, which, like I said, I understand that it's a little touchy subject there for a lot of people. If you remove that aspect of it, I thought that this was a fun opener.
Yeah, I would concur. So then we got Alexa Bliss versus Ember Moon. They had like an 11-minute match or something. Ember ends up...
Ember Moon, who I forgot was employed.
It's just that when you've got that main roster shine, sometimes you're too overwhelmed with it. What was they called it again? Was it the Sheenom?
The Sheenom, yeah, the Sheenom. Oh, God.
So anyway, Ember goes to the Eclipse. She's got the pin on Alexa when Alicia Fox ran in, caused the DQ. So Ember wins by DQ. Then Ronda runs in. She just fucking arm drags the shit out of Alicia Fox. And Alexa is terrified that she's going to have to face Ronda Rousey at SummerSlam. I think that I really enjoyed how they built this up here. I thought that Ronda Rousey, the story of Ronda not getting to Alexa is what you're watching the pay-per-view for. So
right.
For me, it kind of worked. What did you think?
I was fine with it. The Sheenom is just the worst nickname, though. I feel like that has been a nickname for like 9 of the women that they've had in the past 10 years. Like, doesn't that just seem like so generic?
Yep, it does. It's an eye roller. It's
yeah.
I mean, it's like calling Roman Reigns the big dog.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I mean, you're never sitting with your pal going, "Get back in, the big dog's here."
unless your pal is Kyle Burdick, but you know the funny thing about that though is like the thing with the big dog and the Sheenom. That's the names that they have on the WWE create a character thing in their video games, right? It's like they can't pronounce your actual name that you give the character, you know, like they couldn't say David McCutcheon. So it would just be like, "The big dog is in the ring."
Video
just
games.
Ridiculous.
Video games.
So stupid.
We're not going to go through every single fucking thing, but, what is the other big stuff to talk about? I'm not doing the Constable Corbin music this time because it's too much. I've already had to edit the Gordon interview in. I'm not editing that in again. I'm not doing that.
Kenny's like, I will spare no expense for my listeners' pleasure unless it inconveniences me twice.
You get one bit a week. I'm not doing more.
Man. Next week we need to have Flip on and he can just sing it.
Yeah, that would
Yeah. Come on, Flip.
Baron Corbin beat Tyler Breeze in a quick match. Then we get Jinder Mahal and Kevin Owens coming out. And then
this is such a dead angle to me. This Kevin Owens Braun Strowman thing.
But it's like, but they've shoved the two dead angles in together. Braun Strowman, and Kevin Owens. Yeah.
Oh God, it's just all horrible, and I'm so done with it. You know, I tweeted out, and I got over 100 likes, which for me, Kenny, I know that's nothing for someone like you, but for me, that's a tweet of the month. I said, man, it's really going to suck whenever Kenny Omega's on Raw in, like, you know, 2 years, losing every other week to Baron Corbin.
I bet that... Oh, no. But, you know, Omega's probably the only one that I actually don't think will do it. I don't get the feeling that he feels the need. Doesn't he live in Japan?
He does live in Japan, Kenny, but everybody's got a price. They're making all the millions, Kenny. What if WWE came up to you and said, "Here's $10 million on a 3-year deal." Who's going to turn that down, Kenny?
I mean, I'd love to tell you that I would. But
then you'd be lying.
Then I'd be Kenny, a liar.
Kenny, if WWE approached me and said, "Hey, David, you're too negative on Raw. Here's $25 a week to say that you loved Raw," I'd be on here fucking every week going, "Kenny, this was the best Raw that I ever saw in my life. This one here is 11 out of 10 Raw. I really love Baron Corbin this week. He's improving so much. I see him as a future main eventer at WrestleMania, Kenny." So if I ever start saying that shit, you know the WWE started giving me a fucking Snickers bar and a soft pretzel. Because that's when you know I've sold out, you guys.
Yeah, whenever you hear David start to go, "Have you tried those chicken fries with Burger King? They're pretty good." They've got to you! They've got to you!
I do that. Juicy, delicious, fruity, juicy. Yeah, just give me anything. I'll pimp anything. I don't care. $10. I'll pimp your product live on the air.
I was almost happy to give this tag team match a pass because at least, like, hopefully it's going to finish on Sunday with these two feuds.
Yeah,
but I will say, you know, Greensboro, North Carolina, they love Braun Strowman.
Oh yeah. This crowd, they loved a lot of stuff, Kenny. This was an awesome crowd. I wish the WWE would run Greensboro once a month because this was a great crowd.
You know, performer of the match credits go to Sunil Singh for,
of course, as always
for being on the receiving end of Braun Strowman.
Yes, I would agree.
So. Yeah, we at the end we saw Strowman chasing Kevin Owens to the back and Baron Corbin doing his end of days to Balor. So, will we get the demon on Sunday? Who knows?
My cat's screaming like a demon in the background, though. So if you hear any fucking loud cat noises.
We then got a segment with a singer, I use singer in inverted commas, called Ricky Roberts, who said that Elias was his favorite performer.
That's got to be a Rock and Roll Express thing, right?
Yeah, of course. And then, like, so then that brings Elias out, and then he's, like, insulting the town before Bobby Lashley comes out. Big Bobby Lashley!
Bob! The Big Bob!
Or, as Roman Reigns likes to say, Bob. Lashley comes out. Lashley tells Ricky Roberts that he better find a new shtick because they already had a no-talent guitar player. And then Ricky Roberts, God bless him, just smashes his guitar over the back of Lashley, who acted like a gust of wind had maybe just about confronted him at a bus stop.
Yeah. Oh man, this was, and then he takes the most brutal, whatever the fuck spine that choke slam is.
Choke slam, spine buster. Yeah, yeah.
That fucking thing, man. Holy shit, that looked great.
I would have been taking that.
Yeah, no shit. Also, according to Meltzer, it slipped my mind, but I noticed it on Twitter. Elias said that he sold out Madison Square Garden 3 times or some shit. So there's Vince McMahon trying to get his digs in at ROH. Who, by the way, Vince McMahon reportedly not happy that Ring of Honor and New Japan have sold out Madison Square Garden.
While we're on the subject of Elias, and yet, I mean, of course he's going to be raging.
Yes!
Of course Vince is going to be raging. But, so in addition to the matches on the card at SummerSlam, WWE announced that at SummerSlam, there'll be a segment involving Elias, where Elias is hyping that he will perform his greatest song to date.
God, I hope it's good.
Up next.
You know how it goes, though, Kenny. You know, you have a favorite band, and you're all like, oh, man, their new album's coming out. I can't wait to get this. Then you get the new album, and you go, ah, it's not as good as their old ones. And then you just forget about it.
I've got the exact analogy you're looking for. It's like when Bon Jovi went country.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants country Jovi.
No. I mean, you know, you kind of go from It's My Life to fucking Shania Twain.
Oh man, that doesn't make me feel like a woman at all, Kenny.
Up next though, we had the triple threat match for the Raw Tag Team titles. The B Team, who I just can't. The Revival, who
I just can't.
the Revival, who are, I just can't quit them. And Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, who are more over than the push that they have been given.
Yep.
But I actually thought the match itself was really fun.
This was a great match. You know why it was a great match, Kenny? Because it wasn't a fucking WWE style match. It was good.
It was really good. The three teams wanted to win. The three teams wanted the titles. And in the end, obviously, Bray Wyatt ate the pinfall. So we're gonna
The Revival got Wyatt in the Shatter Machine, and it looked brutal. Holy shit! Mm-hmm. And then who was it? Curtis Axel threw them out and pinned Bray.
And then you had Matt Hardy taking that fucking bump outside when he's got his back issues.
Yeah. Oof. Matt Hardy rumored to be retiring very soon.
Yeah, it's sad times. So we're going to get the B Team and the Revival at SummerSlam now on the kickoff. I think it's a kickoff show. Anyway, but yeah, no, Matt Hardy, I mean, if the guy's spine and pelvis are fusing, then... I don't know, mate, is there something you can do to stop that so you can keep wrestling for a while? I don't know.
I have no clue. For his sake, I hope so, because he's such a good guy that you hate to see that, you know?
Yeah. He is one of the best guys around.
Right. I mean, you've worked with him closely, and you only have the most positive things to say about the guy.
Yeah. No, he was one of the best. Then we get Roman Reigns coming out. He says, "Leave this place better than I found it." That was, you know, what he tells himself every day.
Vince tells him every day.
He says he'll never be able to accomplish that while Brock Lesnar's with WWE, so it's time for him to go. He's sick of Lesnar. It ends at SummerSlam, and he's going to send Lesnar so far back to UFC that he'd find his head stuck up Dana White's ass, which the fans really enjoyed. And then came the best promo in wrestling. Paul Heyman comes out.
So good.
He's upbeat. And he said, to steal a line from someone in SmackDown, "It's a new day." Yes, it is. Then he brings the Usos into it. He then, cut a long story short, he wants to be Roman Reigns' advocate because he can give him the secrets to beat Brock Lesnar. And then, you know, Roman Reigns kind of declines, much to the chagrin of the crowd. And then Heyman said that he is drowning in the knowledge that he soaked up when he was 16 to 18 years old, riding in the car with Roman's uncle Afa and his dad Sika. And then Heyman speaks in Samoan to Roman Reigns.
Oh, wasn't that great? You know, that was so good because the second that Reigns came out, Val goes, I'm going to take a shit, and just left. So I had to rewind that, and she was like cooking or something. I forget exactly what she was doing. It wasn't taking a shit, but that was her verbiage. And I had to rewind it, and I had to pause it and be like, Val, get the fuck in here. You got to see this. Yeah, she's like, I don't want to watch Roman. I was like, no, it's Heyman. It's great. So,
and Heyman, you know, Reigns looks surprised. He's speaking to him in Samoan, but Heyman's shouting to Reigns off mic because he taught it to me.
So good.
And then Heyman's like, you don't need to give me an answer. Now you can give me an answer at SummerSlam. And then as Roman looks at the sheet of paper, which I guess was the contract of the agreement, Heyman pulls out a can of something with spray and gets Roman in the eyes, and that brings out Brock Lesnar. It was a ruse all along. Brock and his advocate are just fine, and Brock Lesnar beats up Roman Reigns and leaves him laying. I thought this segment was excellent.
There's two parts to this, Kenny, and I think we're on the same page based on what you said on Twitter. The segment was fantastic. It was must-see television. Unfortunately, you're kind of serving the cake before the birthday party.
Yeah. Because now, you know what I mean? One of the dramas was, what's Heyman going to do?
Exactly. That was the intrigue, was what is Heyman's plan for Sunday? That was the reason I was excited for the match. Now I'm not excited for the match at all, Kenny. I don't give a flying fuck about the match now, because I know how it's going to shake out now. So, oh man, they threw the birthday party before the birthday. But that's what they did.
I'm with you. I was like, oh, I think you're taking the drama away. But to play devil's advocate, because we've not had SummerSlam yet, maybe something else is going to happen with Heyman at SummerSlam that necessitated this to be on this show.
So, I disagree, and my reasoning for that is there's going to be another swerve at SummerSlam, and they won't do two in one show. And we'll get into that big swerve later on in the program, Kenny.
Oh, I'm getting where you're going with that. In the battle of Nobody Loves Us, it's the Authors of Pain and Mojo Rawley against Bobby Roode, Titus O'Neil, and Apollo Crews.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. I was like, Kenny, we already talked about that segment.
I can't keep talking about it. Bobby Roode and Titus Worldwide beat the Authors of Pain and Mojo Rawley in like 2.5 minutes. It was
Big Bob. Oh wait, wrong Bob.
Wrong Bob. And even less interesting Bob, if you will.
Bobby Roode, or as I call him, Triple H, if he hadn't have gotten with Stephanie McMahon.
Pretty much. They played a really nice video package to Jim Neville Neidhart.
Oh, beautiful package. I thought that this one was really nice.
Then we had Sasha Banks versus Ruby Riott, and Ruby Riott gets the win, and it's the whole, like, it's Bayley and Sasha against the Riott Squad, and I was trying through the whole show. I was searching in my bedroom, I was searching in the kitchen, in the cupboards, and I could not find a solitary fuck.
Did you look under the bed? There's a lot of dust bunnies under there, and you never know. One of them might have fallen underneath there.
I found a plate of beans on toast. Still couldn't find a fuck.
Ah, shit. You were diving deep.
Knee deep in the search for a fuck. Well, no, yeah. that's not the way I should word that. Anyway. But yes, so that was shit. Who cares?
Better knee deep than balls deep. Am I right?
Up next is Kurt Angle.
ROH Wrestling for those tickets, ladies and gentlemen.
Kurt Angle's coming out for the contract signing. There was stuff happening earlier on where, you know, Dolph Ziggler didn't want to sign it because it's got the clause that Seth can have someone in his corner, but then Kurt Angle kind of turned it on him and said, well, you know, do you want Drew in your corner? Anyway, long story short, Seth Rollins isn't there. Kurt Angle said that he's having some travel issues coming back from China. And you know he'll be there by the end of the night. So we have Dolph and Drew out there. Dolph signs the contract, says he's probably going to win by forfeit because, you know, Rollins isn't even there. But finally, Rollins comes out and he said, you know, there was travel issues, but the travel issues weren't mine. You know, there is a clause in the contract that means I can have someone in my corner at SummerSlam, and that was put there for a reason. Tired of having the two-on-one advantage, the Scottish Psychopath, which I think should be a nickname.
That's a decent one.
You know, and always interfering. So he should have a lunatic in his corner. And Dean Ambrose returns, huge pop, big return for Ambrose, looks great, shaved his head. Ambrose and Rollins clear house. You know, Ambrose is dropping DDTs, Rollins is signing the contract. And Rollins and Ambrose are just kind of playing up to the crowd to close the show. Great closing segment. And who would have thought that in the summer months of WWE, that one of the biggest highlights of the show would be a team that involves Dolph Ziggler?
Just mind-boggling. I was actually thinking about this. Because, like, even though he looks exactly like Evan Stone, the male porn star, and it's very fucking creepy, dude's completely revitalized himself, and a lot of that is thanks to Drew. So, man, I honestly think that Drew McIntyre could be a big player for this company.
And they're booking him on that right now. Yes. I thought Ambrose looked great, though.
Holy shit, man. I haven't ever seen that guy that ripped before. Have you?
No. He's so ripped. But I like that he changed his look a little bit. He felt more aggressive. He felt like a different Dean Ambrose.
He looks like a heel, Kenny.
Is that something you were going to bring up, David?
Oh, I think so, because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Right after, coming hot off the presses, after 2 weeks ago predicting who would win the motherfucking New Japan G1 tournament correctly as a huge underdog pick when everyone fucking laughed at me, Kenny, the voice of wrestling is polishing up his big old crystal balls, and he's going to plop them down on the table and predict a heel turn at SummerSlam with Dolph Ziggler getting out of the way and Dean Ambrose betraying his good friend and Shield partner, Seth Rollins, turning heel. Kenny, this is going to be good. The only thing that I'm unsure about is if Dolph Ziggler will walk out with the title or not. I have a feeling he will walk out with the title just so Dean Ambrose can feud with Seth for it.
Yeah, you know,
will not walk out with it, I think. Yes.
Yeah, you know,
that one.
I'm with you. I think we're definitely going to get a turn. I think it'll be great to see because Ambrose has not been able to be a heel in a while, so he's going to probably thrive under that role. I thought he looked great. I just thought he was a breath of fresh air. I like sometimes when you do something like this, where you do a moment on TV. So it's like it almost feels like the show's worth watching when you see stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that you're giving away to keep people coming back for more. Holy shit, what a concept, Kenny.
What a concept indeed. So that was Raw, but the other part of Raw that I want to talk to you about is we had a new commentator for the show with Renee Young.
I knew we were going to get into it at the end, and man, oh man.
So, Renee Young, how do you think she did on commentary?
I think she did very well, Kenny. I would give her like an 8.5 out of 10. She didn't get in the way of the broadcast, which is fucking unusual nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
We've grown accustomed to guys like Coach coming in or Booker and making the show about them. Never once was this show the Renee Young show, which is good. That's, you know, you don't want a commentator making the show about themselves to get themselves over, which is all we see anymore. You know, Coach constantly going, I used to work at ESPN and burp, 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 burp. No one gives a shit, Coach. You suck. And so seeing somebody actually worry about the talent and getting the talent over as opposed to themselves automatically a breath of fresh air. But more importantly, she seemed very comfortable, Kenny. She didn't seem like she was there wasn't any like long silences from her. She would chime in occasionally to make sure that her voice was heard. And she never said anything stupid to make herself look like a fool, which is automatically above coach. As Val said, she's familiar with the product, so you don't have to worry about her making the product look bad with misinformation like coach. So
she also sounded like her own person.
She did. Yeah, she didn't. There wasn't any corporate speak. And she said in an interview after Raw, I'm not sure if you caught that or not.
Oh, the .com one? Oh, she's such a sweetheart.
Kenny, I'm going to divorce Val and I'm going to marry her one day. It's going to happen because I love her. I love her to death. She noted that Vince McMahon only got in her ear one time. And that was just to tell her to slow it down a bit. So you could tell that she wasn't being produced. It felt very natural. And this was good stuff. And honestly, we never give Vince any kudos. Kudos to Vince for having a longer leash on her with this. I think that was for the best, because if you put someone on commentary and then you just scream in their ear the whole night, they're going to be like a deer in headlights, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think, so you know, just, for people who say that whenever, you know, if you're a commentator in WWE, you know, Vince produces you. I mean, Corey Graves is really good, and he's produced by Vince. So yeah. it works for some, doesn't work for others. I really hope that Renee Young replaces Coach. And I'm not even saying it to try and be funny or smart, but I actually think Coach is, like, I used to like Coach when he was in WWE before, because he was a character and he was a heel and he was quite funny. And it's just, he's come back and he's got this, like, whole, I'm a respected journalist. It's like, the guy has no clue what he's talking about.
No, he's completely unfamiliar with the product, which is to a hindrance. And Val actually made the recommendation, put him backstage. Give him, like, the Renee Young position. Have them switch positions, basically, to where Renee Young is out there on commentary. And then on the flip side of that, you've got Coach backstage interviewing people. That way his limited exposure to the product isn't a nuisance and it's not exposed in itself. And you can still draw some qualities and get your money's worth out of Coach in a backstage persona role instead.
Yeah, no, it worked. I mean, also, if we're going to have the women's evolution and all that kind of stuff, I think Renee would be a great person to be out there.
I always say that Renee Young is the most valuable asset that they have in terms of personalities on pre-shows and on presentation alone and main show presentation, everything. And they are squandering her by not allowing her to do the things that she is capable of. And this is another step forward in allowing her to exhibit everything that she is both capable and worthy of doing. So I'm all in favor of it, Kenny. I love Renee. Give her more opportunities, not less. Period.
She is going to be one of the commentators in the Mae Young Classic this year, which is good. Yeah, like I said, I always say it. My best compliment I can give her is she does not seem like someone who's in the WWE bubble.
No, not at all.
It's very hard. Like, as someone who has been in bubbles before, it's very hard to retain not sounding like you're in the bubble when you're in it.
Yeah.
So, props to her.
Absolutely.
What is your rating going to be for this week's Raw, David? The go home for SummerSlam, 10's the highest, 0's the lowest. Where are you going with this one?
Oh boy, this is a little bit difficult. I thought this was a breezy show and it had a few high points to it. I think I'll go with the 7 out of 10, I think. That sounds about right. It was a good show. Wasn't great, but it was a good show, Kenny.
I'm going to give it a 7.5. Pretty similar opinions. I think that what they did on the show that was good is they had three big angles for the three biggest matches on the brand. Roman and Brock, Ronda and Alexa, and the Intercontinental title match. And they had the three big angles. The angles were all really good. So in that sense, it worked. So
I absolutely agree.
But I'm curious to see what happens post SummerSlam, because the winter months for Raw don't look too promising based on the current positioning of where characters are right now. So it'll be intriguing to see if MD's kind of, you know, if does MD go babyface, does MD go heel, all that kind of stuff that they'd kind of need to do to make things a little bit more interesting as we go forward.
You know what I would love to see, Kenny?
What's that?
I would love to see Dolph Ziggler hold on to that title at SummerSlam. Because Dean Ambrose betrays Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And then have triple threats for the Universal title with all members of the Shield.
Oh.
Throughout the fall. I would love that. And then have Dean Ambrose walk away with it. Have it like... Seth's about to win it. He's about to pin Roman. He hits the curb stomp, and then boom. Dean Ambrose steals the fall and takes the title from him. My God, it just writes itself, and it's brilliant, Kenny. I would be all about that triple threat for Survivor Series.
Yeah,
sign me up.
And I think what is good about it as well is Ambrose can be the heel, Roman's Roman, but Seth can shine as a babyface there, which is
yeah,
great.
He can be the chasing babyface, chasing Dean Ambrose. Imagine that.
But you know, fair play. We've knocked them the last month or so, much deserved, but this was a good show. It was a step in the right direction. I'm glad that they have, you know, got some ducks in a row.
Yes.
SummerSlam doesn't feel huge this year, but I hope that they do some stuff at the show to make us at least come out of it. My barometer for SummerSlam is how excited I was at the end of SummerSlam 2014. Brock Lesnar had just defeated John Cena with 16 suplexes. You had the Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose of the Shield going at each other. You had Rusev just coming up. You had Brie and Nikki Bella doing their thing. You had like 10 different storylines happening that coming out of SummerSlam, there felt like there was potential with all of them.
Yeah.
And that's the last time I remember being like, oh my God, like this is really... And then, of course, we got the worst winter period in the history of the world wrestling entertainment, which was 2014. And I still want to cry when I think about it. So, with that said, David, if people want to say hi to you, they want to get in touch, they want to just, you know... say hello. Where would they go to do that on Twitter?
You can go and call me a genius voice of wrestling over at Zoopsoul. That's ZOOPSOUL. Ain't I great, Kenny, since you didn't get Jeff Jarrett to say it?
I actually asked Jeff Jarrett to say it, and he refused.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare sully the great name of Jeff Jarrett, my good and close personal friend. Double J. Don't you dare do it.
KennyMC1985, inside_the ropes, insidetheropes.co.uk /tickets for tickets to Pat Patterson Edge and our newly announced show Come to Newcastle, the story of a degeneration with X-Pac and Billy Gunn. But to play us out this week, he conquered the movies and he conquered professional wrestling. This time it was time to conquer the world of music. Here, and I shit you not, is Hulk Hogan covering Gary Glitter's Do You Want to Be in My Gang? Enjoy, everybody. Bye.
So long, everybody.
Come on! I can't.